At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, y'all. I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 307. Okay, the first one. Hi, Donna and Carrie. I cannot even tell you how much y'all have lifted me up as I listened to you over the past 18 months or so. So here we are, December 16th, 2024, and I can't bear the thought of Carrie's asshole puckering. Thus, it's about damn time that I wrote a story. So buckle up, bitches. I'm popping my cherry with my first true paranormal experience that I knew of and acknowledged. I've never written a story for anyone else that could be shared with the public, so please be kind. Back in 2004, I went to work at a furniture store in my town, and that's where I met Jay. We immediately hit it off like we'd known each other for a lifetime. We were the same age and couldn't believe that in our relatively small town, we hadn't actually been besties for ages. Plus, I was big time attracted to him. He was totally my type, and we just clicked. We hung out at lunch when we would have drinks and pizza and such after work or on days off. One day we grabbed a giant pizza and some beers and went back to his place. I was like, this is it. We're chilling at his pad. We're alone. All we needed was Netflix, which was not in streamlined mode yet, but I digress. Then his roommate showed up. Damn. He could see that I was vibing, girls. I mean, you know, I was like getting all the signals, or so I thought. But I'm not naive. But then the roomie killed it. The fucker. After roomie was there for like 5 minutes, he said to Jay, oh my God, she doesn't know, does she? So that was the day after like 6 months or so that I found out that, much to my dismay, Jay was gay. I took it in stride and just went with it. We were coworkers and just handled it gracefully. I'd rather be his bestie and lean into a platonic relationship rather than ever lose what we had. But as a girl who was in theater through high school and college, musical theater at that, who watched literally dozens of my guy friends come out after high school, I thought, what the fuck? I'm 40 years old. How could my gaydar possibly have failed me at my age? Question mark, question mark, question mark. So I'm being the accepting, loving person I am. Suck it up, buttercup. I embraced my bestie for the amazing dude he was, gay or otherwise. He was a guy who wanted to find another guy who wanted to go to camp in the desert and ride quads. We were from East San Diego County, where desert lovers were born and raised, though I was never one myself. It actually made me happy that Jay knew what he wanted and finally knew it was okay to share that with me. Shortly after that time, he started hinting that something was wrong with his health. Jay said he was having stomach problems, that the pain was really bad. Within a few months, he said, Gina, I'm dying. I was like, fuck you, that's bullshit. He'd say, deadpanning, fuck you, I'm serious. I'd say, I love you, Jay, and then he'd say, I love you more. I didn't want to believe he was sick, and honestly thought he was just depressed. His family, especially his abuela, really wasn't accepting of his sexual orientation. After a while, when we got together, I'd go to his house more and more. He was still working, and most of our coworkers didn't know he was gay and thought we were a couple-ish. He celebrated my birthday at work, took me to lunch. We were inseparable as much as we could be. We were like peas and carrots. One day, Donna, you'll love this, I picked up a caulking gun in our work yard and went up to him and said, hey, Jay, you want some caulk? One of the best laughs I ever got from him was over that caulk joke. I'll never forget his laugh. And yet, as time passed, he was seeing his doctor more and more. After about 15 months of being coworkers, I left that job and found another. Because of my new, longer commute, we spent less time together. There were a few times we got together with friends, got really drunk, and Jay tried to get my pants. By then, I knew he was just hurting. Maybe he was bisexual, or just perhaps lonely for physical contact. I don't know. He apologized, saying he was just really drunk. And I wasn't offended. I get it. But it felt wrong, so I didn't allow anything to happen. I just loved my friend, and I knew that wasn't the way to express that love. Plus, I had found out that he was indeed very sick. He told me he had been told by his doctor that he had like 6 months to live. He was being very vague, but had a history of intravenous drug use, which pretty much summed up my understanding of what it probably was. I still just wanted to be my bestie's bestie. When I saw him many months after leaving that job, I finally believed him. But he was going to work. He had a very physical job and just busted it out day after day like a boss. Even so, once again, I was the eternal optimist. Honey, you're full of shit. You're so healthy. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. He said, Gina, I love you. My response, I love you more. Jay, no, I love you more. I'm sorry, but I'm just bawling right now writing this. Damn it. This is why I waited so long to write this. Okay, inhale good shit, exhale bullshit. Whew, fucking breathe, Gina. Sorry, I was having a moment. Okay, so flash forward to spring of 2007. It was the second Tuesday in April. Jay and I had a long phone conversation catching up, as you do, when you don't have the time to get together. Life just happens sometimes like that. I'd moved to South County, so that was just the best way to connect on those days. After about 45 minutes, he just sounded, well, exhausted. I said, babe, you okay? He said, Gina, I'm just so tired. I said, I should probably let you get some sleep then. I love you, Jay. He said, I love you more. Me, no, I love you more. Him, nope, I love you the most. Me, okay, honey, get some rest. Good night. I didn't talk to Jay the next day or the day after that. And then the weekend passed by. The following Monday, while I was in a work meeting, my phone vibrated. It was in my pocket and I let it go to voicemail. After the meeting, I checked my voicemail for that message. I could hear the voice of a former furniture store coworker talking to another guy whose voice I also recognized as another of my former coworkers. It was clearly a pocket dial situation, as a phone had accidentally called mine, then went to voicemail with an open line, so I heard the two of them talking in the background. Nevertheless, even though I thought it was a butt dial, I returned the call because you never know, right? The next weird thing that happened, though, was that when I checked the call history to return the call, the return call said unknown caller. So what? I hit call back. The phone started ringing. This is Rick. Rick P., last name omitted. Yes. Hi, Gina. We're in each other's phones, so why did it come up unknown caller? Hi. Yeah, Rick, I missed a call from you a little while ago. I was in a meeting, but your voicemail, it sounded like you were talking in the yard, and did you mean to call me? Oh, yeah, Gina, I know why you're calling me. Well, I hope so, Rick, because you called me. No, Gina, I didn't call you. Rick, I got a voicemail, like a pocket dial, so maybe it was by mistake? Rick had no outgoing calls in his call history, and mine showed up as an unknown caller. Gina, I know why you called. So you said, Rick, please enlighten me. At this point, I'm feeling unheard, but I digress. Gina, it's about Jay. He passed away on Saturday. I fell to my knees. What? Wait, what? Gina, yeah, I'm sorry, he passed. G, are you still there? Yes, they call me G. Me picking my phone up off the carpet. Yeah, but Rick, like I said, Rick, I know Gina, and I didn't call you. Me. Oh, wow. Damn, of course you didn't. Both of us spontaneously. It was Jay. Then we both said, yeah. Jay wanted to make sure I got to his funeral and said my goodbyes. Hope this wasn't too long and it made sense. I haven't ever written to any podcast or anywhere public before, so thank you for taking the time to read it. Love you, ladies. Gina M.
I, too, liked someone who was gay.
You were so in it to win it, too.
Oh, absolutely. But you're right. They make the best besties, too, because I would rather be his friend than out of his life. And he is the one who did our intro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him and his husband.
Yeah.
Like, they're very musical and they're perfect for each other. And yeah. And I'm still single over here. Also, I saw a TikTok, I think it was, that was like, every gay guy has that one girl that they're like attracted to or they like love or whatever. Like, it's always just like, oh my God, it's just something about them. Say, you know what I mean?
I just don't think sexuality is that simple to be like,
right?
You know, people are more complex than that, you
absolutely
know, putting it into just like a box of, because you could be heterosexual or homosexual or fluid or all the things. And then, you know, be like, you met that one person and the love is just so strong that it can be misconstrued, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're so sorry for your loss.
Oh my gosh. Devastating how you had to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was totally Jay being like, this is how you can do it. At first, I thought they were going to be talking bad about him or something.
Me too. That's what I was expecting.
Like, don't even do it. But God.
Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about BetterHelp because this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Donna, real talk. When life gets overwhelming, who's the first person you turn to for support?
Girl, you know it's Birdie, but also you and Tiff. But, I mean, sometimes you do need more than just a best friend to vent to.
Exactly. We all have those moments where we just feel stuck, stressed, or like we don't know what the next step is. And that's where therapy can be a game changer. Because you know what? Sometimes you need a third party observer with no particular interest in the matter.
Exactly right. And with BetterHelp, getting that support is easier than ever because it's fully online. So you don't have to worry about scheduling in-person visits or sitting in a waiting room, putting on your bra, putting on pants, whatever, because you can do it from the comfort of your own home.
You can connect with a licensed therapist from their network of over 30,000 professionals. So whether you need help with setting boundaries, managing stress, or just figuring life out, they've got someone for you.
And if you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, no problem, because you can switch at any time with no extra cost, which I feel really was something that gave me and Carrie a sense of peace, because you're opening up to someone, you want to be able to trust them to, you know, jive with them. And if you don't, you're not going to get the most out of therapy.
It's time to stop feeling like you have to handle everything alone. We are so much better when we have a support system, whether that's friends, family, or professional help to guide us. So if you've been thinking about therapy, now's the time to try it. Visit betterhelp.com/APC to get 10% off your first month.
That's betterhelp, HELP.com/APC.
Build your support system with BetterHelp today.
Okay, the next one. The door opening ghost or invitation. Hi, it's me again. You can use my name, Jess. I wrote in the story about seeing my autistic nephew's doppelganger a few months back. I don't remember which episode it was read on. You guys asked me to send in more, so here it goes. This was a couple of weeks ago. I had the house to myself, nice and quiet. It was around 9 p.m. and I was FaceTiming with my sister. You can see my bedroom door from how I had my phone facing. We were just shooting the shit and laughing out loud and just being dumb. Well, somehow we got on the subject of supposedly there is now a parallel universe that was discovered. Where and how do I sign up for this universe? I didn't sign up for this world, but now that I'm here and the way things are going, like, someone get me off this fucking planet, you know what I mean? Leave the debt behind. When I looked back at the camera, I noticed my bedroom door was ajar. I asked my sister if the door had been open the whole time while we were talking, and we both decided that we didn't know. So I army crawled to the door and shut it because I don't like the dark, and if I crawl, the ghost can't see me. We asked her husband about the door because I was talking to him the first few minutes before my sister, and he said that he was pretty sure that the door was latched. Ew, I don't like that. Was it an invitation from the other universe? It was like, I heard you, come on in. You're welcome here. Or was it a ghost? Anyway, I'm going to feel dumb if the door was open the whole time, but I really don't think it was. And I'm pretty sure my neighbor across the way saw me army crawl. That's a story for another time. Bye.
Do you have this one person that always catches you doing the dumbest shit?
Birdie.
It's my coworker, Corey, for me. Like, every time I'm doing something dumb, like, I trip over something or, like, I say the dumbest thing, like, literally anytime, he's who catches me. And, of course, he's the one that's, like, never going to let me live it down.
Uh-huh.
And so that's your neighbor for you. They caught you army crawling.
Also, my God, I would just be like, well, I'm done for. If I had to army crawl...
Right. If I had to get on the floor like that, I would just be like, well, this is where I live now.
Yeah. this is no lie, but sometimes after doing doggy, even just on the bed, my elbows have like little burns on them.
I think you need to stabilize yourself a little better.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes it be getting rough, you know?
I know, but like, stabilize yourself.
I have to do different arm positions because, yeah, one time I was like, ow, kind of. It could be also because they were like super soft sheets and there was no like.
Should I use your Miracle Made?
Yeah. You know, because some people's hands aren't super dry, Carrie, that can grip onto anything.
My hands are, they are very they super dry. Are. But that doesn't mean I can grip onto everything.
More so than a soft palm, okay?
Okay, but you're saying that you have elbow rug burns from
because
your...
Because I would be doing, like, on my hands, and then I'd have to go to, like, my forearms.
I'm always on my forearms. It feels better.
I like the leverage of me with my hands, though, sometimes, but... Yeah, there's your sinister sighting right
then,
there.
Then your carpal tunnel starts acting up.
Oh, God. Okay, speaking of carpal tunnel, though.
Oh, God.
So it was me, Kelly, and our other coworker, and he's a male. And
by the way, these are no longer her coworkers.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, they're still my coworkers. But we were talking, and I was like, why do guys like hand jobs? And he was like, yeah, because no one's going to give me a better hand job. Like, no one knows me better than I know myself. And I was like, absolutely. Y'all can go in under 5 minutes. Like, why do I have to do this?
Why are you making
thing?
Me a literal job when you can do it in 0.3 seconds?
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, not 5 minutes. Like, way sooner than that.
Right.
And I was like, but like, I get just like a little bit, but it's like, yeah, let me play with it, whatevs. But, like, I don't want to have to, like, try to get you off. Like, why? A hand job.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
No. I don't want any part of that.
Again, like she says on Sex City, they don't call it a job for nothing. Okay, the next one. Haunted House and Succubus. Donna immediately leans in.
Oh, and for real, though.
Hey, you lovely ladies. I just wanted to wish y'all a happy new year. I love y'all's podcast and y'all's friendship. Donna, your laughter is a godsend and very contagious. I've written in before, and Donna, you did a great job reading my run-on sentences and poorly punctuated mess. Carrie, you got a gift from your sister for Christmas, and you're worried about it being possessed or haunted. Cleanse that thing. Burn sage around it, rub salt on it, and pour holy water onto it. Do something or throw it away. Okay, on to my story. I moved to Southern Indiana with my husband and two kiddos. Our new house was built in the 1940s. Not too old, but the land is, and the house was built for the original homeowner, and I feel she's still here. The first night we were here, my husband and I were talking about what we would like to do to the house, and, you know, the color paint we were going to use and how we were going to pull up that ugly orange shag carpet. Y'all, 1970s shag gag. Anyway, we were talking, and all of a sudden, my husband stops talking and gets real still. I asked, what's wrong? And he says, and I quote, I don't like that old woman. Me, skirt, what? I thought, oh, he's trying to freak me out. So I said, what old lady? He said, the one in the closet. I asked him, oh yeah, what's her name? And what does she look like? He said, her name's Nellie, and she's wearing a long skirt, long sleeve shirt with frillies around her wrist and neck, and her hair's up in a bun. Let me tell you, we were not from Indiana, and we had no relatives in this area. So he wouldn't have known this. We only knew that the house was built for the original owners and that the house sat vacant for some time after the husband died and the wife was going blind, so she was put in a nursing home. When she died, the family sold it to the people we bought it from. We did not know the original owners' names. So I just took this info my hubby gave me, as just him being a prankster, which he's known for. About 2 weeks later, we were driving around to learn how to get to different places when we saw there was a public access to a creek. My husband was excited because it was pretty close to our house and he loves to fish, so we went to check it out. There were people down there and this guy came up to us to say hi. And he didn't know us, and since it's a small town where everybody knows everybody, he wanted to introduce himself and get our names, and I guess just to see what we were doing in his town. His name was Mike, and I introduced myself, kids, and husband, because I'm the friendly one and the talker. I told him we just moved here, and he asked where, and I told him, and he said, oh, yeah, I know that house. That's Miss Nellie's house. Screech, what? I said in a very calm voice, but my inner screaming, what the fuck? I said, oh, yeah, What did Miss Nellie look like? He said, oh, Miss Nellie was so sweet. She was this little old lady, very Baptist, never wore anything except long skirts and shirts with long sleeves. I asked, did she ever wear her hair in a bun? He laughed and said that, yes, she did always have her hair in a bun, and wanted to know how I knew. I said, well, my husband said he saw an old woman with her hair in a bun in the house. Mike said he was not surprised because she loved that house and was so proud of it that it would make sense she was still there even though she died in a nursing home. Holy crap, y'all, what the fuck? Miss Nellie's spirit was alive in my house. That's for sure. I feel she saved our house a couple of times. The first time was when she put her spectrum or energy around an old toaster oven. So my window ledges were real big, and since the house was older, there wasn't that many outlets, so I put my toaster oven in the windowsill because of the plug that was right under it. Every time I used that old toaster oven, it would steam up the window, and the toaster oven would get extremely hot. So hot, I couldn't touch it without getting burned. Well, one day, I must have forgotten to turn it off and unplug it, because when I came home from being gone almost the whole day, I noticed when I pulled in the driveway, the window was steamed up. Yikes. I ran in there and unplugged it, and as I did, I put my hand on it, and I was so surprised the oven was ice cold. I just knew she put her ghostly force around it to save the house. Then one night, I was sitting in the living room reading a book after putting the kids to sleep. It was so cozy. There was a fire in the wood-burning stove that my husband installed in the existing fireplace. And I'm not sure why I looked up, but there was smoke just puffing out of the top. I ran outside to look up the chimney to see if there was fire coming out of the top, but I didn't see anything. I went back inside and looked as best I could, and I didn't see any signs of there being a fire in the chimney. And I stayed up most of the night to watch if there was any more smoke coming, but there wasn't. But to be on the safe side, I called in a guy to come and look at our chimney. He said, lady, I don't know how your house is standing. He said he only saw that kind of chimney when a house was burned down to the ground. I said, I know she saved her house that night also. I've heard her singing gospel music, and my radio would change from my favorite country station to the gospel channel a lot. I saw her one time in my daughter's room after I told my daughter to clean her room before she went with a friend somewhere. I didn't check her room because she usually never lied to me, but when I went in there were clothes and other stuff everywhere. So I piled everything on the floor right at the door so she wouldn't miss the pile when she came home. That girl will clean that room because the next step would be that pile will go in the trash. Well, later on, I was going up the stairs, and as you do, you can see right into her room. Well, looking at that pile and shaking her head, fists on her hips, was Miss Nellie. I stood there for a second or two, then she looked up, and then she swooshed to the left out of sight. I said to her, don't worry, Miss Nellie. Erica will clean that mess up when she gets back. I don't think Miss Nellie's the only entity in the house. When you go up the stairs, to the right is a bathroom, and to the left is my son's room. He would tell me he didn't like the old lady that sits on his bed. He was 2 years old, and I never talked about the things I saw or heard, so I wouldn't scare the kids. So he didn't know about Miss Nellie or anything about ghosts yet. His toys would go off a lot during the night and the day, so I took all the batteries out of his toys. I told him it was just malfunctioning, that's all. He would say, no, the old lady likes to play with his toys. I said to him, then you just tell that old lady she isn't allowed to touch your stuff, nor you. One night, Jake and I were the only ones home. He was playing with his cars by the fireplace, and I was in the chair diagonally across from him. All of a sudden, he runs over and sits right next to me. He couldn't get any closer to me, and I could feel he was shaking when I looked at him and noticed he was looking at the corner where he was sitting. I asked him why he was shaking and was he okay. He pointed to the corner and he said, I don't like that old man. He touched my arm. I knew he wasn't kidding. If you saw his little 2-year-old face, white eyes so big, shaking so bad, he was so scared he saw a man that tried to touch my baby. Oh, hell no. I wasn't going to stand for that. I said, well, Jake, he's dead and he probably had a little boy just like you and wanted to play. But if you don't like him, you can tell him to leave because you have that power. So in your most serious, mean voice, I want you to yell at him and tell him he's not allowed to touch you and to go to God. And let me tell you, he did. And just a few seconds later, he said, okay, he's gone. And he went back to playing with his cars. One day, I was watching my sister-in-law's 2 kids. So my nephew was only 6 months to the day, older than my son. And I think they were 3 and 3.5. They were playing and they were getting loud and bothering the other 2 kids who were watching a movie. So I said, hey, why don't you and Jake go upstairs to his room and play? And he says, no, I don't like the old lady that's in his room. My mom came and blessed every window, every door, and said prayers in every room, making the sign of the cross on the windows, the doors, above the beds. With holy oil, she sprinkled holy water everywhere and put holy blessed salt in every windowsill. No one saw or heard anything from Nellie and whoever else was in here. Okay, so fast forward many years. My daughter is in college, so my husband and I took her room, and Jake wanted to move downstairs in our old room. Well, one weekend, my daughter came home, and I told her she'll have to sleep in Jake's old room. The next morning, I noticed she was sleeping on the couch in the living room, and I asked her what was up. She said she had a dream that a creepy old lady with super long and dirty fingers, her hair was black and was unruly, came out of the closet and said in a deep, mean voice, bring me back my Jake. Bring me back my Jake. Bring me back my Jake. My mom was passed by then, but I learned what to do from her. And not only did I do everything she did before, but I also saged the shit out of my house. It looked like Cheech and Chong lived in my house. It was so smoky. Well, I know my stories are getting long, so I have to tell you about the succubus I saw floating over my husband another time. I love y'all and keep doing what you're doing. Creep it real, y'all. Susie from Indiana.
Well, I'll let it go this time that you didn't tell us about the succubus.
Also, what's funny is the thing that my sister gave me, the little ornament thing, is literally still hanging in my kitchen on the cabinet that Colby put it on.
Yeah.
I think she's just creepy looking.
Or she could be bad luck because your prior authorization ran out.
Yeah, but that was my fault.
And then you got sick back to back.
No, that was my fault.
Might be.
Poor Jake.
Right? That bring me back my Jake thing.
That is so creepy.
No, lady.
Bitch, he's not yours. He's mine.
Right? But, oh my God, my heart would have fallen out of my ass when y'all went to that creek and the guy was like, oh, you live where Nellie lives? And it's like, wait, what? How did my husband know that name? How did all this happen? Like,
See, and I would be more like, God damn it, he was right.
Oh my God, when you said the orange shag rug gag or whatever.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh my God. We had the same.
Ours was green. Well, the living room was green.
We had green and orange.
Ours wasn't really orange, it was more brown.
And in my mom's room, like the closet was like the green and the rest of it was like the orange. I'm like, what? Why? Why did that happen? But that was the kind of like you did not want to sit on when you were a kid because it would be so hot.
I don't remember that.
God, it was like insulation to me. Like I don't want troll hair for my fucking carpet. But I can't wait for your next story, so keep them coming. Okay, the next one. Hello from Orlando. My name is Shalane. I know you need it because no one gets it right. So I hope I got it right. She said, Shell Lane. So, Shalane. I'd be so honored to have you read it on air. Warning, it's long but juicy. And that was for you, Donna. Because I listen to you beautiful ladies daily, I felt like it was time to add my honeymoon Key West sinister sighting story. My story begins in August 2008 when my husband Dean and I arrived in Key West. The weather was hot but gorgeous. The island breeze and the tropical atmosphere made us giddy with excitement. We could not wait to explore. This was our first time in the Keys. We are both into the paranormal, and one of our favorite things to do is check out any ghost tours in the area. It's a great way to see the city and get the lowdown on the local hauntings. Well, needless to say, we didn't have to wait long before the hauntings came to us. We stayed at the Chelsea House, a cute bed and breakfast. He walked up the stairs and made our way to the check-in desk. I walked into the set of French doors towards the concierge when suddenly the door slammed behind me. Stunned, I turned around and looked at my husband. With a puzzled look, he said, "Why did you slam the door shut?" I responded, "How could I when I carried a suitcase in each hand?" He said, "Oh, must have been the breeze." There wasn't a breeze strong enough to slam that heavy-ass door. Plus, the way the door closed, he would have had to been the one to close the door on himself. We brushed it off and figured it was just a weird circumstance. Later that night, we smelled cigar smoke in the room. Neither one of us smokes. I went into the hallway thinking it might have been someone out there. Nope, it was quiet. Eventually, I fell back asleep, but was curious about the history of this house. The next day, we went to a local diner for breakfast. Much like a Cracker Barrel, this diner had a gift store attached to it. I found a book called The Ghost of Key West. Inside, there is a bed and breakfast called the Red Rooster Inn. Legend says that it was previously the Delgado Mansion. Mr. Delgado made money selling cigars in Cuba, where he allegedly had a second family. Mrs. Delgado reportedly murdered him and buried his body beneath the steps of the front porch. It was only on her deathbed that she later confessed that she murdered him, but no one confirmed the location of his body. Local legend says that it's Mr. Delgado who's haunting that place. As I read the story, I noticed that the picture of the Delgado Mansion is our bed and breakfast. I bought the book and showed it to the front desk clerk. I asked her if she knew the legend and if it was true. She looked shocked and scared. She said that she had never heard of the legend. Funny enough, that was the last day we saw her. Upon checkout, we asked the manager on duty about the lore of the Chelsea House. She confirmed that it was true. After the Delgado Mansion was sold, the name was changed to escape the rumors, but it didn't work. To this day, it's still called the Chelsea House, and the new owners accept their long-term guests instead of hiding them. Thank you for reading my story. I have many more, like when I saw a ghost child playing hide-and-seek in St. Augustine. Until then, stay dangerous. Life is more fun that way.
You say concierge weird.
Oh, God, what did I say?
Not concierge.
Oh, no, I don't put the air in it. I say concierge. There's a U in there, but there's no.
You say it like concierge.
That's literally what I just said.
No, I know, but like you put like an urge.
Yeah, I didn't know there was an air.
Concierge.
Concierge.
I mean, me probably still saying it wrong, concierge. But you have an urge.
Yeah. Who are you trying to look? The concierge?
Yes. No one done it. I have an urge.
Oh, God. You know when people will sometimes say, oh, you don't sound Southern or whatever, but then I say things like that.
Concierge.
Concierge. I feel like I'm Luminaire from... did I say his name weird?
Yes.
Luminaire. How do you say it?
I don't know. Oh. Lumiere?
Yeah, that's it.
Good thing you're pretty.
Oh, thanks.
Well, that lady just noped right out there.
Right.
Or it was just her day off.
Or she was a ghost.
And she was like, fuck, they figured me out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do more traveling like that.
Me too.
You and your hubby living y'all's best life.
Right. Now, I do know Shalane is from Florida, but like, we're from Mississippi and we don't go to half the places around here, you know?
Well, but even like, I mean, fucking Natchez here.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. But I do want to go to Natchez for the local haunts and stuff. But they have a hot air balloon festival and I really want to go. But yes, girl, keep sending them in, please.
Okay, the next one. Hi, first, I love your podcast. I listen while I'm creating some awesome art projects, so every project I complete has an imprint of one or more of your episodes. This is the first of several sinister sightings I want to share with you. I will share the others later. I grew up in Minnesota, but I have been living in Switzerland, which is my adopted home for 35 years. In 2001, I was working for a Fortune 500 company, and my job as a project manager required a lot of travel, mostly to New York City and back. On September 11th, 2001, I was in Manhattan when the planes hit the World Trade Center. I won't go into the whole story, but mine was one of those stories of divine interventions that had me forget some documents in my hotel and kept me from being in Windows on the World sipping coffee that gorgeous fall morning. As you may know, there is a lot of significance to 3 days after death. What I can say is that during the first 3 days after the planes hit, the souls of the people who perished that day were palpable. It was very quiet and fuzzy those first 3 days. I was stuck in Manhattan for 10 days before my company managed to gather everyone who happened to be there during that week and put us on a private jet to Montreal, where we would be flown on a charter back to Zurich. Needless to say, it was all surreal and a bit of a daze. The New Yorkers were amazing, really amazing. When I got back to Switzerland, I was suffering from PTSD, so I was given the grace of not returning to work until I felt ready. I had had a hard time sleeping and eating, and the days just sort of flowed into each other. Well, things happened during the time I was recovering at home, where there really was no one I could talk to who would have even had the slightest idea of what I experienced. This was the first one. One night when I got up around 2:30 a.m., I made my way down the stairs and sat in the living room for a while with the TV turned on, but with no sound. The living room led to a hallway which led to an office, a bathroom, and the kitchen. On the far end of the hallway, there were stairs that led to the bedroom and down the entryway. At one point, I got up to go to the bathroom when I saw someone standing at the bottom of the stairs. At first, I thought it was one of my kids, but when I looked more closely, it was a woman. Maybe in her mid-20s, shoulder-length brown hair, wearing a white t-shirt with black lettering and jeans. She just stood there and stared at me. She looked really sad. I wasn't scared, I just looked back at her. For the next several nights, the same thing happened every night. One night, I decided to tell her that I was sorry about what had happened and that it was okay for her to go unless she needed something from me. She never appeared again after that night. I'm convinced to this day that I brought someone back with me from Manhattan. Happy New Year and more to come. I'm sending this on January 6, 2025. Mary Lou. You can use my first name.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot even imagine.
No.
But also, of course, you work for a non-American company that was like, yeah, you just went through hell and back. Like, take your time and come back to work when you're ready.
Right. American company would be like, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't even think about when something happens, again, like one of our stories or whatever, just the domino effect of people that are truly affected that like you just don't always think about.
Yeah. Also, I can't even imagine what it did feel like on Ground Zero the days after, because you are quiet. Like it's, you know, you don't want to, I don't know. I just.
But not even just Ground Zero, like. Everywhere in New York, you know, it's just somber.
But also, why did she have to hitch a ride back with you?
When I worked in oncology, I would say that a lot, like that it felt like somebody had hitched a ride on my shoulder after work.
Okay, the last one, my crazy showing. Hey, ladies, you all are the greatest and all the blah, blah, blah that people say and mean. You really are a source of joy for a lot of us. Just now sending in my first story, though I've been listening for over a year. Please excuse spelling and grammar errors. I can do math, but I can't spell my name some days. I understand Carrie has epic dreams, and so do I. Mine are most extreme and scary when I miss a dose of Effexor. They are bad enough to make me want to stay awake all night rather than risk having one if I happen to be home alone for some reason. On the flip side, some are just cray-cray, all long and convoluted, and I'm seemingly lucid and in control of the narrative, at least my character in it. Here is the one I've recently had in the latter category. I was dreaming that some bigwig in our town died and he wanted to be buried in a city about 2 hours away. He was important enough that the high school marching band was going to be there to play his favorite song, Sweet Caroline, and the alma mater. Somehow, I got nominated to go along as a chaperone, even though neither of my kids would even consider being in band. They are athletes like their daddy, not band geeks like I was. We ride the bus up there, and the buses are parked while we waited for the time of the event. Of course, the kids get restless and start raising a ruckus. I can't take it anymore, and I get off to take my dog on a tinkle. Of course I took my dog. I go almost nowhere without her. While I was doing that, I'm approached by none other than Caitlyn Jenner, who thinks that the band's there to celebrate something for her instead of the funeral. One awkward conversation later, there's been a total rebellion in the band, and they're out of the buses and running around Hell's Half Acre like chickens. I look up to see two tornadoes coming straight for us. Cue my tornado fear due to surviving a near miss. Buildings on each side of us and across the street were destroyed, miraculously and mysteriously, leaving the one where we were untouched. This scared the kids back onto the buses. As each bus filled, they pulled away. Of course, in my effort to save all the kiddos, I'm left behind. Cue my abandonment anxiety. I go running to a small house that was nearby, feeling like my feet had lead weights on them. The house had two old ladies, and we all, the three of us and my dog, get into the bathroom and start praying for grace. Eventually, the storms pass and I'm able to leave. I meet up with a couple other people who were also left behind. For some reason, we can't use our phones or any landline, so we think the best option would be to walk back. So off we go. As we're going, we walk along the Miami River instead of the road. On the way, a bunch of cool kids come by on a boat who decide to join us. We go along for what seems like days. Finally, we come to another little town where we see a sign for a club that says an old black guy is going to be playing. I'm the only one who recognizes it to be Muddy Waters, an old blues guy that's been dead for about 40 years. One of the brainiacs I'm with decide that they will pretend to be this guy and sneak us all into the club, which turns out to mean carpet on the walls, dive bar. We do get in, but it takes a wild turn. All of the people in there were hybrid animal people. They know we're not like them, but they don't think that we're human because for some reason we can understand their language. We tell them that we're half humans on our mother's side and we're from Cincinnati. Evidently, all the weird things come from Cincinnati for some reason, and it makes sense to them. Eventually, we decide to get on the road. One of the Anna humans wants to give us a gift on the way out. I think it's going to be money, as we have none for some reason. We do beg off, as it's only right, but they insist. It turns out they send a lady back into the building, and she comes out with a fishbowl. She turns out the water to get a couple of stones from the pot. They turn into a piece of paper with three coupon tabs when she handed them to me, and one jeweled charm. The coupons are for wishes for rides and have dates that make us think that those are the dates we'll get home. But the dates keep changing and the places marked on them change all around too. It seems like we go and go for days only to get a few miles. We try to steal a car, don't judge my dream, by taking a car that was set for Matthew Broderick, you know, Ferris Bueller, to come out of a restaurant. Meanwhile, the coupons show longer and longer for us to get home. Figuring this was a sign to go on, we head to another place to see if they could help us. Unfortunately, they try to trap us because they think we are animal people. We escape their attempts and get out of the country. In the country, we see some ponies, work ponies, not Shetland, and we think that they would get us home. They were unpinned, so it didn't seem like it would be bad, but when we catch up to them, one is really sick. We end up taking them to the nearest farmhouse. These people are so happy to know what's going on with their ponies as they had gotten out in the storm. They give us the other horses to ride back home and tell us that they will come pick them up a week later. We all take off towards home and separate to our own places when we get near. My husband's standing on the porch as I ride up. He tells me that he's missed me so much and that he has some hamburger helper, garden peas, and applesauce for me to eat. He knows my love language. End scene. I generally don't tell people about these as I don't come off as too rational in the tale, but I think you are my peeps that will appreciate a good tale. More to come. I'll do a couple of the scary ones next, and I have some weird true crime stories myself. Love you all as good friends and sisters, Susan from Ohio.
You know, I used to think that my Zoloft gave me weird dreams, but maybe my Effexor does.
Maybe. Because, like, literally, when you said that you were like Carrie and you had epic dreams, and then about the Effexor, it's like, well, maybe that correlates.
But I've always been this way. It's not been just since I started taking Effexor.
Yeah.
Also, I really hate saying that drug name. I feel like I don't say it right.
Well, hell, you know I've been on a roll of saying everything wrong tonight. So.
I should have heard her say alma mater the first time. She said alma mater. No, alma.
Uh-huh.
Alma mater.
Alma mater.
Yeah, I was like, what?
No, I said, shh, I know. There was a lot of R's in there that weren't. But that dream was tiring. Also, Q, Carrie has a fear of abandonment as well.
Literally almost all of those fears.
Also, have you ever seen a Shetland pony in real life?
Is that the little ones?
Yeah.
I think so.
I haven't, and I want them.
We'll keep those stories coming because, whoo.
I've been having some weird dreams, but, like, they make no sense. Like, it just goes in, like, vignettes. Like, it's not a long dream.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, here, we're here. And then cut to another scene, completely different. But they're so fucking weird that I'm like, wait, what?
I'm like you, Susan. I, like, all of my biggest fears always manifest in my dreams. Like, Colby leaving me or, you know, all those things. Like, it's always something like that. Well, thank y'all for sending in these stories. Keep them coming. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.